Hey, everybody, it's Tim Miller from The Bulwark here. Couldn't be more excited to bring in George Redis. He posted this article on Substack that is moving, infuriating, all of the feelings. The headline was, "I'm a U.S. citizen and a veteran. ICE arrested me for no reason." So I guess before we get to the ICE raid and just the fucking despicable behavior by the government, what happened to you? Just give everybody like a little first date story, like where'd you grow up? You know, how did you end up in this place? Yeah.
I was born and raised here in Ventura, California. Grew up here my entire life, moved around a lot. And just eventually when I turned 18, I was just tired of like doing the same thing over and over and just wanting to make a change in my life. And I decided to join the military. I joined the army and I ended up going infantry. And so I ended up going to Fort Benning, Georgia for basic training. Did that, and my first duty station was Fort Wainwright, Alaska. And from there, we deployed in 2019 to 2020 for 10 months, came back to Alaska, was there for a little bit, and then ended up going to Fort Hood, Texas. And I finished out my contract there, and I ended up getting out, and I was still in Texas for a little bit, went to school after I got out the Army, just bounced around trying to figure out what I wanted to do in life, really. Like I was only like 22 when I got out, I think so, or like 23.
Yeah, you had the picture of yourself in the army in the article, and you look like a baby.
Yeah, I know. I was young. I was 19 going overseas. So I mean, like when I got out, I was like, after going through all that and like getting out, it's so different being out in like a civilian world and just like trying to adjust to like being here and like not that military vibe, that army vibe. And just, I don't know, I kind of just was trying to figure out what I want to do. So I went to school, got my CDLA license. I didn't follow that. I ended up going to dental school to be a dental assistant, just trying to figure out what direction I want to go in. And just eventually I ended up getting my guard card for Texas. And then I also got my guard card in California. And eventually I moved back to California at the beginning of this year, and that's when I got the job working security for Glasshouse Farms. I joined a security company, and Glasshouse Farms contracts them out. So
it's a legal weed farm.
It was a legal weed farm, completely legal. But I didn't even work for like Glasshouse themselves. Like they just contracted my security company out, and
got it.
They just put me there, and I didn't even choose to go. Like it just so happened, like that was the closest to where job site to where I live. So they put me there.
So let's take you back to July. So it's July 10th, and you're going to your shift there in the morning, essentially.
Or I was going to the evening shift.
Oh, you're going to the evening shift. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to the evening shift. It was my first day, like working the evening shift. And it was just something I was trying to get for a couple months to work that evening shift. So it was my first day, like getting that, like going to that shift. So I was going early. Like I kind of figured like, okay, I don't know what happens like this time. So I figured I was just going to go early, chill, and just like wait until like I start and
beat the traffic.
So yeah, beat traffic, just chill. And just eventually when I'm driving up, I'm driving up, there's just traffic that entire road going to my work, cars bumper to bumper, people getting out on the side of the road, just people not even in their cars, just literally it's like just a two-lane road, just one road, and it's just one lane on each side, so people are just kind of everywhere, and I make my way through, and I ended up getting to the front where kind of everything's happening, and there's just this line of ICE agents lined up across the road, blocking anyone from going across, like continuing to go like up the street. So I see this. There's a car in the right lane. I don't know if there was anyone in there, but there's a car in the right lane. So I pull up and I end up going in the left lane. I get out of my car. I put my car in park. I get out. I stand beside my car. I don't approach like agents. Like I literally stand right by my car. And I'm a good distance away. I'm not super close. I'm a good distance away. And so when I get out my car, I basically just like, I'm a US citizen. I work right there where you guys like are at, where you guys rated. I'm just trying to get to work. Like,
so did you approach them and say that or?
No. I kind of just stood by my car and I was yelling towards them. Like, okay. I'm a, like, cause okay. There's a lot of people there, protesters banging on stuff. And so I wasn't trying to get in their face. I wasn't trying to like start a conflict. I kind of just stood by my car and was like yelling towards them. Like, I'm a citizen. Like, I work right there. And, they didn't care. They just were immediately hostile. Like, get out of here. I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm able to cuss.
We can cuss. Yeah, no, we like cussing. Yeah, all good. I'm going to be doing some fucking cussing once you explain to people what happened. So keep going.
But yeah, they were basically just like, get the fuck out of here. Like, get back in your car. Like, leave, pull over to the side. Work's closed today. You're not going to work today. Like, you're missing work today. Like, get out of here, pull over. And just like, they were just all yelling different things, just being hostile for no reason. And eventually one agent gets like really upset and he like tries to like approach me, and another agent like steps forward and holds him back. And just, I see that and I just don't want any more problems. And I'm like, don't want this to escalate. Like, I'm not here to do any of this. Like, I was just trying to get to work. Like, I'm clearly not going to get there. So I'm just going to leave. And so I get back in my car and they just surround my car. I have agents on my left, my driver's side, my passenger side, agents behind my car, agents in front, just all yelling at me to do different things. The agents on the side are pulling on my door handles, banging on my windows, telling me get out. Agents in the front of my car are telling me to reverse, to like leave. The agent behind me is like trying to like tell me to like show me to move, like to reverse. And so all these agents are doing, like telling me to do different things. And so I'm just like, I'm trying to leave. Like, I'm trying to do what you guys are saying. And so eventually they reverse me out of the way. They reverse me into an angle basically. And I get back into the right lane and I'm out of the way at that point. They leave my car alone. They throw tear gas to disperse the protesters. And I'm kind of just trapped there in the right lane, just my car filling up with tear gas. And all their vehicles are passing on the left-hand side. They're all passing by on the road. So, all their vehicles are passing by. They left my car alone and I'm kind of just sitting there trapped in my car, like with tear gas. I have like tear gas smoke behind my car, just engulfed. Like, I can't see behind me. I'm coughing. I can't see. It's irritating my eyes. And just, I'm just sitting there trying to hold out as long as I can. And so eventually all their vehicles pass by and I don't know why, they eventually come back up to my car and surround my car again. And they start doing the same thing. Agents on the side, pulling my door handles, telling me to get out, banging on my windows, like telling me to leave at the same time. And then agents in front telling me to leave, agents behind me telling me to leave. And like, I'm kind of just in there, like coughing, trying to catch my breath. And I'm trying to explain, like, I can't see, like my car's engulfed in smoke. I'm not just going to reverse and hit one of you guys. Like, that's really stupid. Like, I'm not going to do that. Like, that's crazy. Like, and like, they're telling me to leave, telling me to get out, doing like contradicting each other. And I'm just there, like coughing, trying to catch myself. And just eventually my driver's side window shatters and they just immediately following shattering, an agent sticks his arm through and pepper sprays me in the face. Just immediately after, not like a moment later,
they didn't ask you for ID, nothing.
No, just immediately as soon as my window shattered, another agent stuck his arm through and pepper sprayed me in the face. Glass flew everywhere. I had glass in my leg. They dragged me out of the car, threw me on the ground. And I kind of just went with it. Like, I wasn't fighting. Like, there was no point. I'm not stupid. Like, I'm not going to fight 20 agents at once. Like, that's stupid. So I kind of just go through with, like, you just got to take it, as like, as much as it sucks, as much as like, this is stupid and this is shitty, it sucks. Like, but you got to take it.
It's a nightmare. I mean, like, you're surrounded, like, you get pepper sprayed in the face. Like, you didn't do anything. You're going to work. You didn't
do exactly. anything. And so they drag me out. They throw me on the ground. And I'm just trying to comply with them, letting them do whatever. And even though I'm complying and just letting them do whatever, agent comes and he nails on my neck and another agent nails on my back all while I'm trying to just let them do whatever. And they're just sitting on top of my neck and my back,
nailing on my neck and back. Or were you like, I'm just confused.
At that point, I'm trying to tell them like, I can't breathe. Like I was literally just trapped in my car with tear gas, like trying to catch my breath. And you could put everything together. Like if you just tear gas me, you just pepper spray me and then you come nail on my neck and my back, like without letting me catch my breath, like obviously I can't breathe. And you're like, all this is for no reason. And so I'm just telling them I can't breathe. Like, I don't know what you guys like. I can't breathe. And they didn't care. So I kind of just was like that until eventually they zip tied my hands behind my back and they just picked me up and they walked me back to the Glasshouse Farms where I worked. And the entire time they're walking me back, they're kind of just handing me off and just like, why is he arrested? Like, who's taking him? Like, whose responsibility is he? Yeah, like, why is he arrested? Yeah. Like, yeah, they don't even know why I was arrested or like who's taking, like who's in charge of taking me. And so that are just asking each other the entire time they're walking me back.
So then how'd you end up in jail or in detention center?
So they walk me back to the farm. They sit me down. I'm there for 4 hours or so. They ask me if I have my ID while I'm there. I tell like, or if I'm a citizen, I'm telling me like, yeah, I'm a citizen. My ID's in my car. Like if you just go and get my, like, if you just go to my car, my wallet is in there with my ID and everything. My plates say I'm like a DV. I have an Iraq combat veteran on my, like on my car. Like I'm a citizen. Like I don't know what's happening. And so, I mean, I don't know if they ever went back to my car to check if I have an ID, or to check my ID, but they just kind of left me there and eventually they put us in unmarked SUVs and they drove us to a Navy base in Port Hueneme. And when we got to the Navy base, they took us through this like giant open field.
So us is like you and other guys that were working on the farm, I guess, that were maybe
When they took me to the farm, they kind of sat me down in the dirt and they kind of like separated me from everyone else. I'm assuming because they kind of figured I was a citizen and they knew I was a citizen because I'm telling them like, I don't know, like, and then just, they ended up arresting, two other people that were protesters, I believe. And, so they kind of kept the citizens separate from everyone else. So
they take you to a naval base.
Yeah. So they ended up taking us to the Navy base, and it was just this giant open field, Homeland Security, FBI, like people in the Navy, National Guard, just ICE, like CBP, everyone you could think of is there. And they end up doing my fingerprints. They take my picture. They put real cuffs on. And eventually after all that, they end up putting me back into the car and they drive me down to downtown LA to the Metropolitan Detention Center. And we get there at around like 10:30 at night. And so we go through the normal intake process, strip search.
What the fuck? Like, do you get a call or a lawyer?
No, nothing. No call, no lawyer. Like I asked, like,
your strip when search, like, they put a jumpsuit on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Strip searched. They put us in like a jumpsuit. I asked them like, could I shower? Like I'm covered in tear gas. I'm like, do you guys pepper spray me? My like hands and like my face are burning and like, could I shower at least or something? And they're just like, it'll pass. Like you're good. Like it'll pass. And so eventually after they process us, they do our finger, like they did our fingerprints and took our picture again, our mugshot. And, they throw us in, they put me in a cell, that Thursday night. And so that Thursday night, I'm in a cell with one other person. It was a protester who also got arrested that day. The teacher, whatever, the professor, Jonathan, I was in a cell with him. And so just that first night, my hands, my face, just my skin is burning. And so they end up giving us sandwich bags for like food, I guess, for our dinner. And so I take the sandwiches out and I fill up the sandwich bag with water from the sink. And just that entire night, I'm soaking my hands in, like just trying to ease the heat and just the burning sensation of my hands. And it just like, it didn't help at all. Honestly, it just felt like it made it worse. And just the entire night, I'm just there awake, just burning, my body burning, just anything I touch, just it irritates, it starts like catching on fire. And it was just the like worst sensation possible, like nothing to soothe it. Just I had to deal with it. And it was just like I was on fire, and just, it was the worst. It was the worst fucking feeling ever.
So then they held you there until Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah, they held me there until Sunday. But so that was that Thursday night. Friday morning comes around. They finished doing our in-processing paperwork. They let us see medical. And
they have medical to know you're a citizen by then, by Friday morning.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, they know I'm assuming they know I'm a citizen. I mean, they make me do, like, fill out paper. I do, like, my social security. And, like, I get, like, I'm in a prison with, like, other inmates, like,
were you not losing your mind on these people? And I guess it's hard for me to, like, on the one hand, there's one side of me that's like, I would have been fucking screaming at these guys, but like, get me a fucking lawyer, get me out of here. Like, what the fuck is your problem? On the other hand, you're scared. You're in a prison. You're like, I don't want it worse. I don't know. Like, what was going through your head?
Honestly, I was just so, like, I was like, why? Like, it was just so unbelievable. I was just like, why am I here? Like, what did I do wrong? Like, what just happened? Like, this makes zero sense. Like, I asked for a phone call, that didn't happen. I asked for a lawyer, that didn't happen. Like, I didn't even get a shower, and I'm just there, and I'm just like, what is happening? Like, clearly, no matter what I say, it doesn't matter. So I kind of just figured I've just got to take it until eventually when I get out, like, hopefully something happens. Hopefully I see a judge. Hopefully.
I don't know. But like that second or third night, though, you got to be like, how long am I going to be here?
Yeah. So that Friday morning, they finished doing they do our medical. It's just like a background of our past and like how we are now. And, based off that, they sent me to psychiatric, and I talked to a psychiatric nurse, and just based off the answers I gave her, she decided I was best to put me on suicide watch. And so that Friday morning, they put me on suicide watch, and, they put me in this, they put me in the cell. I'm naked, in like a hospital dress, and just a concrete bed with like a mattress, like a thin mattress. And, they leave the light on 24/7. There's a glass door. An officer's just always standing, like sitting out there. The psychiatric nurse comes and checks on me once a day. And so from Friday morning to Sunday afternoon, when I'm released, I'm literally in that cell, naked, just in that room.
What the fuck?
With the light on
24/7. How is this real? Just, like, this is a nightmare. I mean, like, yeah. My blood is boiling right now. And I knew that it was bad. I didn't realize how bad it was. That's fucking insane. Like, that's something from like a TV show. Like, you're in Guantanamo or something. How is that possible that happened?
I'm literally wondering the same thing. I was just the entire time I was in there, I was just hoping like, I would just want to see my kids again. Like, literally, that's the only thing that matters. Like, I literally just want to see my kids. Like just that whole, like, time, that was the only thing on my mind. Just
how old are your kids?
My daughter had just turned 3, and her birthday party was that Saturday that I was in there.
And did your family know where you were? Like,
all they knew was that I was arrested by ICE, and that was it. They didn't know where they took me. They didn't know where I was. They called all these agencies, the sheriff's office in Ventura, Camarillo, like Oxnard. They called the jail, and they gave them nothing. They never said where I was. They just said that they don't associate with anyone, and that was it. They just kept giving them the runaround. No one knew where I was. And so,
God, I have so much rage right now for you, dude. I want to like go fucking strangle one of these guys. Like, how did that, like, it is so unbelievable. I mean, obviously, it's un-American. It's just horrific. So, like, how did it end?
I was that Sunday, sometime in like the morning, close to afternoon, an officer came up and was just like, "You're off suicide watch. Like, you're getting released for the day, or you're getting released." And I was kind of just like shocked. I was like, I don't want to get my hopes up. Like, they're like, I just hear that. So I'm kind of just there. They never took me off suicide watch. I'm still in the cell. Like, even though he said I was off suicide watch. So after he says that, he just leaves, and I'm there for a couple more hours, and eventually another officer comes up and he takes me downstairs. He gives me back my clothes. They make me sign for my phone, my piercings, my watch and stuff. And that was it. They just told me like all the charges on you were dropped. You're free to go. And that was it. And I was just told, like, I basically just asked, like, so I was locked up. I missed my daughter's birthday for no fucking reason. And they just stayed silent. They couldn't give me an answer.
No apology. No, nothing.
No, just silence.
And then you walked out of there, and like, was your family there? Did people know, or you were just alone? You had to order an Uber or something?
No, they ended up, like, I got my phone back, and they walked me out. They said, they let me call someone for my phone, and they just said, like, call for your ride. And so I called, and someone came and picked me, like, family came and picked me up.
Were you screaming at them? I want to fly there right now and just fucking scream at them. How, like, were you controlled? Like, or, I guess you were just...
I was honestly, like, after being in the military, like, after doing all that, like, through that entire process, like, I knew to, like, just be calm. I've been through, like, the mud. I've been through the fucking shit before, if I'm being honest with you. Like, yeah. I know how to keep my cool. I know how to stay calm under pressure, and just all that really helped me. And just when I got released, I was really thankful, if I'm being honest with you. Like, who knows what else could have happened, or if I even could have been released. And so when they released me, I was just like, I was just so happy, so relieved. Like, it felt so nice to feel the sun, like, on my skin, to feel air. And so I was honestly just happy. I was relieved to, like, be free, to, like, just to be let go, to be, like, free and have freedom. And I was just happy, honestly. Like,
you're a better man than me. I'm going to do my best to try to make you not happy for a second, make you get some rage. These fucking ghouls at DHS put out a press release about you. They said you became violent and refused to comply with law enforcement. You blocked their route by refusing to move your vehicle out of the road. That's what the government's saying about you. What do you think about that?
I think it's absolutely insane. It's a crazy hill to die on, to make those type of accusations when there's so much footage, when there's so much evidence, when they released me without charges. It's just crazy that, like, it just doesn't make sense to me, like, why they would make that stance when clearly
they lie all
just,
the time. I mean, at least they didn't send you to El Salvador, I guess. They lied about that.
I mean, yeah. So, I mean, I understand, like, it just shocked me. Like, why lie? Like, it just makes no sense to me. Like, why lie? Like, you could have just took this on the chin and just been like, we messed up, like, take responsibility, take accountability, and just say you guys messed up, take accountability for your actions. But instead they choose to lie to the public and demonize me and try to make me the villain and just try to tarnish me, basically, and my story. Try to use it to promote ICE and say I'm, like, inciting violence, and stories like mine are inciting violence. It's honestly a terrible feeling that our government would even do that.
They did the violence, actually. They were the one that did the violence against you, I think, is what happened. So you're suing them?
I am in the process of suing them, yes. I made claims. I got to wait 6 months for them to respond to the claims, basically. And if they don't respond, that's when I could actually go to a courthouse. And
yeah. What are you going to do in the meantime, man? Like, what are you going to do? Like, what?
Honestly, just figuring out my life. Honestly, doing all this is a big responsibility as well. Just sharing my story, keeping it alive, like, letting it be known.
But you got to pay the bills, dude. You got a little girl.
Yeah, I know. That's also a big thing. And so I haven't figured it out. I just, I don't know. This is really important and, someone has to do it. I mean, I get it. Like some people just like this stuff happens to and they just want to forget about it, or they just are scared that the government might retaliate. And someone has to do it. And I'm not afraid. I mean, I know I did nothing wrong. I know the facts for sure. And I'm 100% confident in my story. And so they can lie all they want. They can make all the tweets they want. They could try to live in their own reality, but the truth is out there. And when it, like, if they want to take it to court, I'm like 100% in and I'm 100% ready. And
it is crazy. I mean, that's to like, you serve the country, like you volunteered to serve the country and like the country is doing this to you. They menaced you. They threw you in a hole for hours and they took you away from your kids and for nothing. And like you would think that, you know, people that, you know, kind of portray themselves as wanting to like care about veterans, care about the military, respect the country, that they would go out of their way to make this right with you. And obviously the opposite is happening. I don't know what that makes you reflect on them or your service in any way.
No, I wouldn't say it makes me change and reflect on my service. Like I still love this country and I 100% love the Army and I love that experience. I love the brotherhood and just the family I made and just the experience. It made me a better person. It helped me grow. It taught me a lot. I know that just what's happening right now just doesn't define America. What's happening right now just doesn't define the flag that I wore, the flag that like we stand for. Like this part in our country, in our history, what's happening right now just does not define what the flag stands for. And so I have no problem still standing by the flag and standing by and believing in the Constitution. Like it's really important. And I think it's everyone's job to speak about it, get involved, because it's not just my rights that were violated. It could happen to you. Nothing's really stopping them, really, especially when you can't take accountability to charge federal officers and it's just this big limbo. So I think it's really important to speak out and just tackle this head on. And for the government, it's like what they're doing is completely wrong and I don't agree with them at all. And just it doesn't matter if you're left, you're right, or you're like, you agree with them, like it affects us all. Like it doesn't matter. Nothing's stopping them from going to you or like arresting, like.
Well, I think it seems like you're probably a closer target than me. You know, I don't know. I don't look visibly, you know, my 25% Lebanese is probably not making me a target, but it could happen. I mean, certainly, I think there was a certain type of person that was targeted and somebody looks like you.
Even if you don't like 100% believe me and you want to believe I or like the government and what they say, like, and like you really stand behind the government and believe them, like even if you don't agree with that sense and you really believe like they like I saw to them and what they say is true. I think everyone could agree on, like, if you don't believe me, at least we could all agree on the fact, like, what the 3 nights in jail, no attorney, no phone call, no shower is completely wrong and goes against everything like we're supposed to stand for. And so even if you don't agree with me and you think I'm the villain in all this and you think I'm wrong and you support the government that much that they can't do any wrong and they can't lie, I hope we could just at least agree on that and agree that that's wrong and we could all have that in common and come together with that.
Well, man, you're a better man than me. I appreciate your courage very much for speaking out and for that positive message for everybody. And I don't know if you ever have any reason to come to New Orleans, but you will never pay for a drink again in New Orleans as long as I'm around. All right, man. And
sounds good to me.
Let's stay in touch. And obviously we'll link to what you wrote for Home of the Brave, but if there's other ways for folks to kind of support what you're doing or the lawsuit or anything, just let us know and we'll put the links here in the show notes. All right, man.
All right, sounds good. I really appreciate it, honestly. Like, you having me on here, you sharing my story, like, what you're doing is just as big as me, what I'm doing. I mean, it takes everyone to get involved to really make change. And so Thank you, honestly.
Thanks, brother. It was a pleasure. So good to meet you, all right?
Yeah, so good to meet you as well. Thank you.